Acts chapter 11, beginning to read at verse 19. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen travelled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, telling the message only to Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived, he saw the evidence of the grace of God. He was glad and encouraged them to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. This too is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. What do you think that your clergy, your pastors, should be like? There are a number of different opinions within the churches. You might think that your clergy and your pastors should primarily be preachers. That is the most important thing. Or you might think that your pastors and clergy should be people of the sacrament, able to baptize, to administer the Holy Communion. You might think that clergy and pastors should be out there in the community doing social action, social witness. Or you might think that they should be good at children's work, at youth work, at student work, at senior citizens work, at men's work, at women's work. Or you might think that they should be out there doing pastoral counseling. Or you may well believe that they should be able to lead all sorts of different worship, right from the BCP to informal. What are your ideas and your views of what the pastors and the clergy of the church should look like? What does the ideal pastor look like? What sort of a person? Well, here in our reading this morning, Luke gives a portrait of a great pastor. And indeed, he wants us to learn from this passage what the ideal pastor ought to look like. So let's have a look at him. This ideal pastor. First of all, from our passage, we learn that the ideal pastor should be a man of encouragement. A man of encouragement. Have a look, please, at verse 22. News of this, that is, the church in Antioch, reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch, this man whom Luke says is the ideal pastor. But before we get on to Barnabas, let's have a look at this church at Antioch. Antioch was the third city of the Roman Empire. It was a great city. After Rome and Alexandria, Antioch was the place to be in the Roman Empire. It was a great multicultural city, an urban melting pot, full of culture and sophistication and wealth. And there in that city, a multicultural church was planted, a multicultural church of Jews and Greeks. We see that from verses 19 to 21. It was an extraordinarily significant and moment in church history. The first time a church was planted outside of Israel, which included both Jews and Gentiles, that is, non-Jews, together. An amazing and extraordinary moment of witness to all sorts of people everywhere. And we've heard a little bit about that from our friends from Carey Baptist, of how they will be witnessing to a multicultural group of people coming to the Reading Festival, and do pray about that. Well, that's the sort of church that was there in Antioch, a multicultural church, a multi-ethnic church, a little bit like Christchurch, which has 20 plus nationalities. Well, this new venture, this new extraordinary and magnificent church reached the ears of the apostles in Jerusalem. And what do they do? Oh, my goodness, this is something new happening, they say. Let's send Barnabas up to Antioch from Jerusalem. And so Barnabas goes up. Barnabas in Hebrew means son of encouragement. Son of encouragement. So what does he do when he gets to Antioch? Does he actually say, well, goodness me, this is a new venture altogether. This is extraordinary new stuff, you know, Greeks and non-Jews becoming Christians. Well, I must write a report back to the apostles in Jerusalem. We must discuss this and authorize it, whether this is proper stuff. Is that his pastoral role? No. Look at verse 23. When he arrived, he saw the evidence of the grace of God. He was glad and encouraged them. Everything good in that church could be summed up in that one little word, grace. He saw the grace of God. He didn't try to control it. No. He rejoiced in it. He was open, saying, thank God. Wonderful news. People from all nationalities and cultures are coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's wonderful. And he encouraged them. He encouraged them. What does the word encourage actually mean? Well, in the Greek, it has the sense of exhort, strengthen, comfort, and challenge. And that encouragement is normally done in preaching. But what did he encourage them to do? What did he strengthen and challenge them, urge them onwards to do? Well, have a look at that wonderful little phrase at the end of verse 23. He encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. Literally, it says, to remain steadfast to the Lord and to cleave with all their hearts. That is, to keep on keeping on. He says, look, you've begun well with the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now, keep going in the Christian life. You've had a great beginning. That's wonderful. But there are going to be hard times ahead for you guys, you church in Antioch. Keep focused on Jesus. Become closer and closer to Jesus. Cleave with him with all your heart. That is your mind, your emotions, and your will. Focus on him and him alone. Now that is wonderful stuff, doesn't it? He didn't say, cleave to Jerusalem, focus on Jerusalem, focus on me. No. He allowed the grace of God to flourish and focus their minds and hearts on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I was reading this, my mind went back to the start of my Christian life in Shepherd's Bush in West London, a very multicultural area of London. A small multicultural church called St. Simon's is the place where I was converted. And there the vicar, Tim, didn't focus himself on me. No, when he saw that I had come to the Lord Jesus Christ from an Indian Zoroastrian background, he rejoiced, he was delighted. And he focused my mind and my heart in good times and in bad times on the tension between myself and my family. On the Lord Jesus Christ. He kept me focused and encouraged me to keep going to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at him, he said. Look at how wonderful he is. He'll get you through your difficulties with your family. Focus on him rather than on himself or the church. And that's surely the role of a pastor, isn't it? To focus the congregation on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, to say personally, here at Christ Church, Virginia Water, I find an amazing number of wonderfully gifted and generous people. You really are. You are a great encouragement to me. And I rejoice. I am glad to God for his extraordinary work of grace amongst you all. And what's my job? Well, it is to focus your hearts and minds and wills not on myself, not on Stephen, not on the others of the staff team, not on anything else except him and him above. Trust him in good times and in bad times. Cleave to him with all your heart, mind, soul and spirit. Focus on him. Make him the love of your life. For that is the role of a pastor. A man of encouragement. But that sense of encouragement that Barnabas shows to this extraordinary multicultural church in Antioch, well, he shows goodness and generosity of spirit. And that's the second thing we learn about the ideal pastor. The ideal pastor is a man of goodness, a man of goodness. Have a look, please, at verse 24. He, that is Barnabas, was a good man. Now that's actually very, very significant. There is only one place here that Luke ever calls any human being good. Only one place in Acts. So it's meant to be quite significant. Barnabas was a good man. And the sense of goodness here is very close to kindness. And it's very close to generosity, actually a man of grace. So Barnabas was an extraordinarily attractive character. He was a generous character. He was a kind character. He was gracious in all his dealings. But what was the source of his goodness, his generosity, his kindness, his grace? Well, Luke tells us that. Full of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit filled him with this goodness, this generosity of spirit, this encouraging character. And what's the evidence that he was full of the Holy Spirit? Well, again, Luke tells us, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. Here was a man who personally knew his God, who personally knew his Lord and Saviour. If you talk to Barnabas, he was always on about his Lord and Saviour. And because he was focused and passionate about Jesus and Jesus alone, he was able to be generous and recognise the work of Jesus' grace amongst everyone in that congregation. What an extraordinary guy and pastor. And sadly, that is not what we see in many churches in the world today. Now, we could of course think over to the United States and think of many pastors who have fallen from grace, especially perhaps those who have been focused on the prosperity gospel and themselves. But even closer to home, I have to say that in my experience of my friends at college whom I was training with, that many are simply not showing that focus, that goodness, that generosity of spirit on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is actually, quite frankly, heartbreaking, isn't it? To have a pastor who lets down his church and above all, who lets down his Saviour. You see, the more I've gone on in ministry, the more I've realised that ministry, above all, is a character business or it is nothing. And this passage really challenges and convicts me. I have a real temptation to be envious, to be jealous, to be in ministry for the self-glory, for the self-promotion. So please pray for me. Please pray for all of us on the staff team. Pray that we might be people of goodness. Pray for us that we might be full of the Holy Spirit. Pray for us above all that we will be full of the Lord Jesus Christ. See and test our lives. And what does that generosity, that goodness of character in Barnabas's life show itself in? Well, that's the third thing we learn from this extraordinary and wonderful man. The ideal pastor should be a man of teaching. A man of teaching. Have a look, please, at verses 25 and 26. You see, Barnabas could have thought, well, I'm the pastor of this church, and I'm going to run it, and I'm going to preach and teach, and I'm a good preacher, I'm a good teacher. But he also thought, well, what does this church actually need now? It's been planted, it's growing. People are coming to the Lord. Luke has actually said that, were brought to the Lord. He says, yes, it now needs depth. It needs, as well as breadth, it needs depth and profundity of teaching. I can do part of that. But who's the best teacher I know? He thought, well, it's Saul, isn't it? It's the Apostle Paul, the one who was wonderfully converted, we heard from Daryl last week. He has the best, finest theological mind I actually know. This church needs some teaching. I'll get the best one I can think of. I'll get Paul. So that's what happens. Look at verse 25. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus, that is Paul's home city where Paul was, and to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Wow, what a great acclamation of their joint ministry. The first time ever they're called Christians. People who know and love Jesus Christ. You see, that was the heart of Paul and Barnabas' teaching ministry. Teach them deeper and deeper and deeper from the Old Testament scriptures and from the gospel about the greatness and the magnificence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And no doubt it was a magnificent year of teaching, of depth. Now, again, in our day and age, we have this experience of a real split between preaching and pastoring and counseling on the one side and serious theological work. You know, oh, the theology is for what pastors should actually do in their training at theological college, or that's what should go on at universities. But that is not the experience of the old, ancient church. In the ancient church, church and academy, theology and practice belong together. Because they knew in those days that unless you grew deeper in the faith, you were never going to remain close to the Lord Jesus Christ. The church needs teaching. And here at Christ Church Virginia Water, we do offer that teaching. That teaching in home groups. If you're not a member of a home group, join the home group so that you can study the scriptures together in good, solid material. We offer the More College correspondence course to our apprentices and to others. And on Friday, Andy and Martin Jones took their More College exams. It's a wonderful course that helps you to go deeper and deeper into the Bible and into theology. Daryl's here this morning and he's taken them, so talk to him about doing the More College correspondence course. We have the Thursday evening courses which offer deeper subjects on teaching. We have CBSI for the ladies which offer teaching the Bible. We've got a wonderful bookstall just here full of fine books which will stretch your minds and hearts. And of course, you've got the whole staff team. We're here to resource you. If you have got questions about teaching, well, come to Stephen, to Francis, or myself. So here we have, in Barnabas the model pastor, the ideal pastor. And it is an extraordinarily moving description of that man here in Scripture. And as I was preparing, I found a wonderful and extraordinary quotation from John Calvin, the great pastor, the great teacher of Geneva, which sums up what Barnabas and indeed all clergy and pastors should be. This is what he says is the model. Therefore we see that having forgotten about himself, that is Barnabas, all that he is concerned about is that Christ alone may be preeminent, that he may have only the building up of the church in view, and that he, that is the ideal pastor, may be content with the flourishing and success of the gospel. The flourishing and the success of the gospel. May God grant us all more pastors like Barnabas.